Welcome back to the Rob O'Donnell Show on WILK News Radio, 103.1 FM, 910, 980 AM, or anywhere on the Odyssey app. It is 5:09, 72 degrees on this Thursday, April 3rd, 2025. Last hour of the show here on the Rob O'Donnell Show. Let's go right to, you can call or text at 570-883-0098. Let's go to Paul. Paul, you on the phone?
Yes. Rob, thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
I'm sure you're familiar with the cave-ins happening along Route 80 in around Wharton, New Jersey, being that you probably frequent that road quite often.
I've actually tagged the U.S. Secretary of Transportation on those exact because they weren't getting the due attention needed from the New Jersey Department of Transportation.
Supposedly, they're occurring due to iron mines that were in and around that area. And I want to correlate what's happening there to what has happened and will happen in Wilkes-Barre. Wilkes-Barre is honeycombed with coal mines. In fact, there are estimates that there are 2 to 3 times as many miles of roads underground from the mines than there are above ground. Coupled with the coal mining, there is an active mine fire in Wilkes-Barre right now that originated up in Laurel Run around the 1901 era. So, and that mine fire has been deemed to be impossible to put out. So they basically just shut down everything, and you've got this mine fire going on, and what supports the mine operator pillars that they had to leave intact to keep the mines from collapsing. In fact, that's what happened with the Knox mine disaster. Being that you're not from the area, you may not know of that, but they were doing what's called robbing the pillars and weakening the coal pillars to the point where they collapsed and the Susquehanna River came in and flooded the mines. But none of this will ever put out the mine fires that are happening under Wilkes-Barre right now. And I know of what I speak because I was born and I was raised in Laurel Run. We were dislocated from that area. Basically, the town was leveled, and it's just open space now, except for a mobile home park that's up there. If you take East Northampton Street up through Wilkes-Barre Township and into Laurel Run, as soon as you cross out of Wilkes-Barre Township, it's basically a no man's land. It's the only thing that happens up there now is the Giant Susbury Hill climb once a year. But this will happen in Wilkes-Barre where there will be collapses to the point where it may become uninhabitable.
And these are highly populated areas where these are?
Well, yes, of course. I mean, we lived in an area that had several hundred homes, a couple thousand people that were basically, we were all uprooted and forced to move someplace else back in the late 60s.
Yeah, I remember reading those stories. And mine subsidence insurance, that's a separate clause, I believe, on your regular homeowner's insurance.
It is. I have a lot of experience in the homeowner's insurance industry. So no, you have to be in a certified mining area, and there are a lot of other parameters that go into it. But no, that's not part of your normal homeowner's coverage. In fact, anything earth movement related is generally not covered. So yes, if anything happens in the Wilkes-Barre area with subsidence from this, no, it's not a covered loss.
Do you have any idea what that clause on a policy would, an average, what it would cost a homeowner? Because I know a lot of homeowners that are even unaware that they should have it.
No, I don't, Rob. That's a federal program, just like flood insurance is a federal program. So, no, we didn't, in the private industry, we didn't deal with that.
All right. All right. That means maybe something I can look into.
It would be expensive, but consider it that there are so many honeycombed miles of excavation underground, and you've got an active mine fire that cannot be put out. In fact, I remember as a kid seeing our congressman at the time, Dan Flood, up at the end of my street saying that there's never been a fire that a flood couldn't put out, which, you know, got a round of applause and laughter, but he was proven wrong. This fire cannot be.
And one of the key points that you're talking about here, Paul, is these fires are eating away at those pillars.
Potentially, yes. And there are literally thousands of years worth of fuel under there. There were three distinct coal mine beds under Wyoming Valley, and some of them go several thousand feet deep. This is deep mining.
Yeah, for these current fires that are going on, are there any vents where you're seeing the smoke coming out? I know up by me in the upper valley, there were a couple in Mayfield area there of ongoing.
Take any rainy day in Wilkes-Barre and look east up towards Wilkes-Barre Township, and you will see the haze from the active fires venting up there. There was a railroad line that ran through there, Jersey Central, that several of the railroad ties had to be replaced. The wooden ties were replaced with steel ties because they would catch fire.
Wow, so that close to the surface.
That close to the surface. You could feel the heat coming up. There were places up in Laurel Run that snow never touched the ground.
Yeah, it's interesting because we have a couple of our municipalities getting electric buses because of the emissions of our gas and diesel buses, but yet here you have an ongoing, you know, thousand-year fire that's taking place right there that's probably putting more CO2 into the atmosphere in our area, laying in the valley, like you said, the haze, probably worse for the entire area.
Well, you're talking sulfur dioxide. And if someone could come up with a way to geothermically tap into that, that would be a heat resource that would be incalculable.
You bring up a very good point there, especially, you know, they're saying that this has the potential to burn for 1,000 years. You're absolutely right. Maybe something
minimum of 1,000 years. There is so much coal that's unharvested under this valley that it's undetermined how long it can burn.
Yeah.
Well, and this is quietly being ignored.
It's amazing how something so impactful, and we've seen, I think they're on their third or fourth sinkhole on Route 80 in New Jersey, Interstate 80 in New Jersey, that shut down an entire major thoroughfare. I know the Secretary of Transportation, Duffy, was out there to see it himself and to get involved to have the repairs. I wasn't aware that they were old iron mines that are subsiding there.
Yes, and if you're forced to take Route 46, I would recommend you stop at Hot Dog Johnny's. Right in Buttsville.
I know it well. You also got Abe's there along the Delaware River in Jersey there. I'm not sure exactly the town, though.
I'll take Hot Dog Johnny's.
All right. Paul, thanks for letting us in. And I love these historic conversations on what we should still be aware of, not just history. It's happening now.
You're welcome, Rob. Have a good show.
Thank you.
Bye.
That was a story Channel 16 carried about 2 years ago. A big mine hole opened Luzerne County in a creek, and they could not fill them for a long time. Just looked it up. I remember every once in a while, one of our creeks ended up seeping into one of the mines, and they have to plug it or try and stop the water from going in. But, you know, ongoing fire and mine fire, you know, not a direct danger of burning any of us. If it's burning ties, it may be, you know, a trigger for setting up. If it could burn railroad ties laying on the ground, why not dead brush laying on the ground, starting our brush fires up there? But the fumes, the chemicals, the stuff that need to deal with day in and day out is definitely a concern, and it should be a concern. So I saw this story where a lawsuit over property tax assessment reveals the perils of contracting out technology. And why it caught my attention was because software provider Tyler Technologies has been accused of overvaluing properties in Missouri's second most populated county. And it's not the first time they've been in the hot seat. I shared this story on my social media, but now I'm sharing it with you over the air. This summer, residents in Jackson County, Missouri, began receiving surprisingly high property tax bills as part of the county's biannual reassessment. Some residents saw their taxes go up by as much as 83%. One homeowner saw the value of her mobile home increase nearly 400%, from $400,000 overvalued by $10,000 in 2021 to its current reevaluation set at $202,000. This, county officials have claimed, is the result of contracting out their property assessment process to an external contractor, Tyler Technologies, a Plano, Texas-based public sector software provider. In a $17.9 million contract signed in January, and this was in 2020. This story is from 2023. So this was January 2023. Tyler Technologies agreed to provide the county with a full reappraisal process and data management services over the next 2 years. But the process has been marred by issues, according to local news outlet KSHB. Parcel data was returned late. Tyler also agreed to manage property owner appeals of their reassessments, but their phone system didn't work properly and wasn't set to Eastern, not Central time. And employees also failed to arrive on appeal calls over Zoom. Attorneys have filed a class action suit against Tyler and the county on June 20th of 2023 in response to the property tax assessment, arguing that the county did not properly notify property owners in a timely manner, reports KCUR, Kansas City, NPR affiliate. This is only one of several instances in which Tyler Technology has been accused of poorly communicating municipal contracts. Data transmission issues abound in a contract with Lubbock County, Texas, which resulted in difficulty obtaining legal discovery records, and the Lubbock, Alameda County, California, and Shelby, Tennessee counties wrongfully jailed individuals after switching to Tyler software products. There's a myriad of other issues have reportedly extended over multiple years, adding taxpayer costs to existing multi-million dollar contracts. These ongoing problems haven't stopped the state from deepening their relationship with Tyler Technologies. In late June, the city of Branson contracted with Tyler for comprehensive financial management, human resources, utility billing, and other services. In July, Missouri State Highway Patrol signed an agreement with Tyler for computer-aided dispatch services for public safety analytics. These debacles highlighted the challenges of private software procurement process in the public sector. In a recent interview, former Deputy Chief Technology Officer for former President Barack Obama, the author of a new book, Recording America, describes the gaps between policy and technology implementations. While much of the procurement problem is complex, even at the local level, bidding on such contracts requires very little evidence of actual competency and are required in this paperwork. It's all evidence and compliance. And so it's very easy to find something that's not compliant. But in the result, easily 6 months after a two-year delays in getting something done, she continued, Tyler moved to dismiss the lawsuit, and the county administrators have told reporters at KSHB that the contract has not been breached, although $6 million remains unpaid to the company until they fulfill all deliverables. But the Jackson County Legislature Chairman, Darren McGee, told reporters that earlier this summer, a Tyler Technologies representative visited and told them all is well. It doesn't even make sense with all the issues we're having. It's countywide. It makes us look bad, and we've contracted to the company that clearly has done a bad job. We should have never hung up on taxpayers. And this, again, this story is from July 26th of 2023 of the NPR, Dwell.com. This is the very Tyler Technologies that's handling the Lackawanna County reassessment. So this story, as well as a few other in regards to it, is posted on my social media. Another one from KSHB.com, which is the, I believe, WNBC affiliate in Kansas City, says Jackson County legislators discuss holding Tyler Technologies accountable for issues in assessment process. You can read those stories for yourself. They're handling our preliminary or preliminary appeal, or what, we had 10 days to contact them. So we'll see what stories we have, what kind of outcome we have here with them and the county. It's 524 here at WILK. Time for 2020 traffic and weather together.